Blog Talk Radio.
So those faithless and perverse generation, that is say, faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted with our faith? What's perverted our Christianity, faithless?
Well, say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil say, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you're worth killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you log your time and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit there for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks have deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you. And the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
Oh, God, people, go!
All right, how are we doing now? Can y'all hear me now? Hopefully this fixed it. Do I get a radio check? Alright, we're back up again. I don't know, every time I try to use the mic, I have nothing but trouble, so I guess we're just going to go with the Polycom thing from here on out. Alright, anyway, glory to the King, hope you all doing well. Give me 2 seconds. Hope you were all doing well, had a great first day. We butchered chickens all day, the Saints here on the land, and of course all the Saints that come for fellowship regularly, the off-land Saints. We all did 200 chickens a day, so we had a full day. We thank the Most High for it. And we thank the Most High for that wonderful, truth-filled message Pastor put out yesterday about the name of Jesus. Definitely timely. I've been noticing that question coming up, so, you know, the Holy Spirit's faithful. Always brings stuff right on time, and it actually is good to be refreshed once in a while, and for the new Saints coming in, obviously, to, you know, if they haven't read what's on the website about the booklet Pastor wrote on the name of Jesus, to hear the preaching yesterday, I'm sure that was a great help, great refresher for me. I appreciate it. But if you haven't downloaded the article Pastor wrote on the name of Jesus, I would encourage you to do so. It's on the Straightway Truth website. But tonight we're going to talk, I know the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of First Fruits. We're in the Feast of First Fruits right now, and Shavuot, which is the 50th day of the Feast of First Fruits, the conclusion of First Fruits, which is going to be a holy convocation, as it was detailed and laid out first in Leviticus 23. That concludes, I think it's the 16th, the 15th or 16th of May. I get it kind of messed up. But anyway, that weekend, on that first day, it concludes. And in Hebrew, it's Shavuot, and in, you know, we know it as Pentecost as well, in the English. So you hear us use Pentecost more than we do Shavuot, but it's the same thing. So we're going to talk about that tonight. It's a few weeks away, and what we're going to talk about is the fact that, as we've demonstrated and proven in the ministry here many, many times over the years, that the Most High does so many things of significance on His feast days, on His appointed feast days, and the Feast of Shavuot is no exception. And for those of you that are, again, newer to the ministry and aren't familiar with this, we've talked about it, Pastor did. A teaching years ago on this. I did kind of a little bit years back in Blog Talk, but I'm going to bring it back up again, for just a refresher and for those that have never heard this. But, one of the two big things we know that happened on the day, at least the one for sure, and I'm going to show you the other one, is that, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, happened at the Feast of Pentecost, on the day of Shavuot, the 50th day of First Fruits, in Acts chapter 2 as we read it. But it also is the same exact day that Yah gave Moshe the Ten Commandments, and Moshe brought them down from the mount to present them to the peoples. That's the exact same day. So we have the giving the law on the Feast of Shavuot, on that holy convocation, and also the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the same exact day. And we're going to take you through and show you exactly where that's at in the Torah and in the New Testament, of course. So appreciate y'all joining me tonight. Brother Ugly, as always, thank you right up front for remaining diligent to posting the scriptures and the definitions for us and whatever else may come across. Good to see you in the room tonight, Sister Mara, Brother Vincent, bless you, Brother Sean, the Saints out there in Arkansas, all the way from Australia, Brother Carey, and Abraham Walsh, Sister Brittany, bless you, my sister. Sister Rachel, good to see you on here, and Diane Lisa, bless you. Thank you, appreciate all for joining me tonight. And with that, we're going to get started. It's going to go over an hour, probably. I'm going to try to keep it as slow as I can to explain it, because I know people still have sometimes getting it wrapped around in their head exactly how all the feast days run. So we're going to take it hopefully slower and try to get the point across. And I'll say this right now is that years ago to help me myself to get all this stuff laid out so I could see it visually. I created a actual calendar with all the months, all the first 7 months of the Hebrew year, and from Abib all the way until the Tishri, the seventh month, and I got it all laid out month by month, the dates, and I was able to apply the actual scriptures to them days of the month to show that how everything lined up. So I'm going to say this now. I'll say this at the end of the broadcast. I hope I remember. If you would like one, that copy, it's an AutoCAD copy. It's nothing fancy, but it's helped me immensely. It may help you if you have a little trouble. Just send me an email to elderbecker777@yahoo.com, and I will get you a PDF of that calendar that I made up. So if you'd like one, again, my email is elderbecker777@yahoo.com. So with that, we're going to get started. And we're going to go right to Leviticus chapter 23, the first time that it's pronounced or written in the Torah for us, exactly all the feasts of the Most High, starting with the Shabbat and going all the way through Tabernacles and Shemini Atzeret, which is the eighth day of Tabernacles. But we're going to talk about the first time, the Feast of First Fruits was actually brought up and the significance to it, and what was expected and required during that time of the feast. And then we're going to go on and talk about right after that, right into showing you right in the scriptures, even though it's not written, but it's there, it is written, how the Torah or how the Ten Commandments were given on the day of Pentecost, or on the day of Shavuot, 50 days. So, all right, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 and through 16, which outline the Feast of First Fruits, which incidentally goes by like two or three different names. So First Fruits is the most common. Feast of Weeks is another one. That was a few others too. I don't remember them top of my head, but them two are the ones you will see in the Word a lot. So with that, Leviticus 23, starting at verse 9, going again to verse 16. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So right here in verse 11, it is giving you the first indication about when the Feast of First Fruits is to begin. And it says that, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Okay, on the morrow after Sabbath, first of all, the Sabbath that's being talked about here is the seventh day rest of the Most High. So we have our seventh day weekly Sabbath, and on the Feast of First Fruits begins immediately following the next day, as we call it first day, or the Romans call it Sunday, okay? So that's when it always starts, after a Shabbat, a seventh day rest of Sabbath. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish, of the first year for burnt offering unto Yahweh. And the meat offering there shall be 2 tenths of deals of fine flour mingled with oil. An offering made by fire unto Yahweh for a sweet savor. And a drink offering thereof shall be of wine and a fourth part of hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto Yahweh. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. Remember, we read in verse 11, the day that the beginning of first fruits starts, the day after a Sabbath. So, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after that Sabbath, from the time it starts, from the day that you brought the sheath of a wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, which makes 49 days. And the 50th day, or Shavuot of Pentecost, will land again on that first day of the week. And even unto the morrow, after the seventh Sabbath, shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh. So we have right there in verses 9 through 16, outlining exactly what Yah expects, this 50-day feast. It starts the day after seventh-day Sabbath, Shabbat, and then goes for 50 days, and it comes back and lands again on a first day, 50 days later. And then that is the day of Shavuot, or as we call it, Pentecost as well, and that's the day of a holy convocation as well. So, all right, so when they departed out of Egypt, I'm going to be able to show and prove by the Torah, by the scriptures, that it was 53 days after they left Egypt, after they took the first Passover. It was exactly 53 days later that they came to Mount Sinai and was given the Ten Commandments on the day of Pentecost. So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we're just going to break this down a little bit and give you a timeline, a diagram of exactly how the springtime months, how Yah made all these things correspond so it would fall, his feast days would fall in line with the new moons and with the months and that kind of thing. So Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, which is Abib. So we know it's beyond a shadow of doubt. This is the first month of the year. This is where we're going to count 14 days in, and that evening coming in the 15 days is going to be the Passover of the Most High. So what we always have to know when the month starts, so that's how we calculate because of the moon cycle. That's how ancient Israel did it, our Hebrew Israelite forefathers, and that's how we continue to do it today. All right, Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. And then I'm going back to Exodus 12, 3, verse 3 and verse 6. And Moshe said unto the people, Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of Yahweh brought you out from this place. There should be no leavened bread eaten. This day came you out in the month of Abib. And just again, we're just showing again that the first month of the year is Abib, establishing a timeline to show, because the way that you're going to find out that you can prove that, we can prove that, the Ten Commandments was actually given on the day of Pentecost, is you have to be able to establish a timeline, or the start of the timeline, and that would be the first month, Abib, and then the second month, and then the third month. Because that's one of the huge factors in able to prove this, beyond a shadow of doubt. All right, let's see. Back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Now, I took this from another study I had, and I got these things kind of mixed up a little bit, so just bear with me until I get this, outlined real well. So, Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, again, speaking unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take every man a lamb according to the house of the fathers. So they're coming prepare in the first month. They're preparing to examine the land on the 10th day in preparation for the 14th day at evening coming in the 15th to kill the lamb for the first Passover. And Exodus 12, verse 6, And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So now we've established the timeline. We started in the beginning of Abib, the first month of the year, 14 days later. We're coming into the Passover because that day is significant. That 15th day of the month is going to be repeated back a few times in the Torah. That's, again, it helps establish the timeline to get us to Pentecost or Shavuot on Mount Sinai. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 and 2. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to Yahweh the Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yahweh the Elohim brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yahweh the Elohim of the flock and the herd in the place which Yahweh shall choose his name there. Again, I could have left it out, but again, it's just another witness that this is the right month, and this is when the Passover happened, was in the first month of the year. All right, Israel begins their journey in the wilderness to the wilderness of Sinai on the 15th day of the first month. And that was the Passover, the first day of the Passover. So going to Numbers 33. Numbers 33, verses 1 through 3. Numbers 33, 1 through 3. And please forgive me if this, I'm not trying to get this confused at all. I'm just trying to keep this as simple as possible. So I hope I'm doing a good job of it. Because when you study this stuff and it just kind of gets in your mind and you really don't have to, you know what you're talking about. It's just being able to convey it to others, the same thing that you know what you're reading. All right, Numbers 33, verses 1 through 3. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moshe wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of Yahweh. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. So we see in verse 2 that Moses is the one responsible by his pen, by his hand. He detailed and chronicled the journey of Israel through the wilderness. And because he did, he wrote down certain things and made certain timestamps in the journey, we're able to ascertain certain events based on them marks. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. So they left the following morning. Remember, they had the Passover that night, the dark portion of the 15th. They had their Passover. They were supposed to leave none of it till the morning, and they were doing all the packing. And then when first light came, they headed out. In fact, it says while it was still dark, so it was very early in the morning. They'd taken all the stuff from the Egyptians, and they were ready to leave Egypt that early dark hours of the a.m. morning, heading out into the wilderness. But that was on the 15th day of the month, the first month, which being Abib, the beginning of the Hebrew year. All right, we're going to be reading Exodus 19, verses 1 and 2, and then 10 through 25. But in between there, we're going to be jumping over to Exodus 16, I forget how many verses, to establish, because it's very important. When I did this study, what really stuck out to me was I was able to, by using the scriptures, point exactly when the Sabbath day was, in relationship to the Passover, and being able to establish when the exact seventh-day Sabbath of rest was, also proved conclusively that when they left Egypt and that first weekend, when they came, the first Sabbath that came up, that first Sunday after they left Egypt, that it was 50 days later they were in Mount Sinai. So you have to, in order to validate this, you have to prove exactly when the Sabbath day was, because the feast a first fruits begins the day after Sabbath. If you don't know when the Sabbath is, it's very difficult to establish the beginning of the Feast of First Fruits way back then. But again, Moshe, in writing these things and chronicling things, left us a timestamp, a mark. Gave us enough detailed information to actually make this possible to ascertain when this is. All right, Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. Exodus 19, verses 1 and 2. In the third month, okay, so remember the children of Israel left on the 15th day of the first month. Now we're in Exodus 19 and it says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And meaning the same day as they came in on the 15th day of the third month, or 51 days since Israel left Egypt. And if I had my calendar, if you could see it, you could see clearly what I was talking about. But when they left on the 15th of the first month of Abib, when they left Egypt, 51 days later, on the 15th of the third month, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. All right, going down to Exodus 19, verse 10. So we got 1 and 2 just to establish a time frame. 2 months later, 51 days later, on the 15th of the third month, they found themselves in the wilderness of Sinai. And in verse 10, it says, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. And then we're going to go to verse 11 a little bit later. But now we're going to jump to, we're going to cover verse 11 and then jump to Exodus 16, sorry. So Exodus 19:11, and be ready against the third day, for the third day Yahweh will come down in sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And that's the day that the Ten Commandments were given. So they got there on the 15th of the third month. They were instructed by Moshe through Yah telling Moshe to tell the people, you have to sanctify them that day, the next day, and into the third day to prepare them, to sanctify them, to purify them, to get them ready is humanly possible for Yah giving them the Ten Commandments. Because at that point, they entered into a covenant. He was actually preparing them to be clean and spotless as they possibly be to enter into a marriage covenant on the day of the giving of the covenant. That's when they said, all that you give us to do, all you say that we will do. They agreed as a wife to her husband that that's what we're going to do because you are Elohim and we agree to do what it is that you command us to do. All right, in order to better prove that the Ten Commandments were given to Israel on the 50th day of Shavuot, or Pentecost, it was needful and necessary to provide proof that this event occurred after the seventh-day Sabbath of rest and 50 days from the beginning of the Feast of First Fruits, as was the provision given in the Torah in Leviticus 23. Upon the study of Scriptures, though not given directly, the proof of which day of the month that the seventh-day Sabbath fell on is attainable, thereby providing and lending credence that the Pesach of Israel occurred in the midst of the week and that the 50th day of the Shavuot occurred the day after the Sabbath day. And what is so beautiful about this is that the first Passover and the first fruits and everything played out at the very beginning, the first time that Israel actually was a partaker in these feast days. The exact same set of days are the exact same days that we find in the New Testament when Yahshua was crucified. The timeline is the exact same timeline, which is just amazing and awesome, but that's the way Yah does things. So right from the beginning, and he showed us again here with the death, burial, and resurrection of Yahshua, and then the giving of the Holy Spirit 50 days after the resurrection. We have the exact same timeline. They said that everything fell on the exact same days of the week back when they left Egypt, and then when Jesus was taking that Passover, these two Passovers thousands of years apart fell on the exact same day. So we're going to show you that. So going to Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through, this is pretty lengthy, but it has to be. Oh, boy, 1 through, good chunk of it. 1 through 30. So we got 30 verses, and we're going to break this down and bind this and tie this together. So just remember now, they're 51 days removed from leaving out of Egypt. They are in the wilderness of Sinai. They arrived in the third month on the 15th day. Okay, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So we're not changing the timeline. We're not, you know, we're not trying to remove or distract from the fact that the third month on the 15th. What we're trying to do is we have to use Exodus 16 to prove when the Sabbath days fell in order to prove that the Feast of First Fruits did exactly what it does, as it came after day after feast, or after the seventh day Shabbat of rest. And I hope I'm keeping this clear. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know I'm trying. So we find Israel. They're somewhere between Elim and Sinai, going to the wilderness. They came to the wilderness of Sin on the 15th day of the second month. And that is, let me see, that's that would be 28 days, 31 days since they left Egypt, with my trusty calendar in front of me. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to Yah we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So we have the Israelites. They've been traveling now for 2 months, 30-some days from the departing of Egypt. And they're, you know, they're already complaining, murmuring. They're already thinking about Egypt, what they had back there. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And verse 5, And it came to pass that on the sixth day, okay, so the sixth day, this is the first time we have indication of a day. On the sixth day they shall prepare it, and today that's where we get the preparation day. That's part of where we understand our prep day before the Shabbat comes in. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and they shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So on the sixth day the instruction was that you're going to gather twice as much and prepare all this stuff for the next day when you're not supposed to work, which we know is a Sabbath day. See, they were keeping the Shabbat before it was actually given in writing of stone. And Moshe and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At evening, and you shall know that Yahweh had brought you forth, brought you out of the land of Egypt. So what's going to happen in evening? What is going to be another sign, telltale sign in the evening that just reminds again these murmuring, complaining people that that's the day, you know, that Yah freed them from the bondage, the things they're murmuring and they want to get back to. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of Yahweh, for that he heareth your murmurings against Yahweh. And what are we that you murmur against us? And who are we? Why are you murmuring against us? You wanted to follow us? You were asking us to lead us out? Will you believe that the Father was in us? And what the hell are you murmuring us against for, right? Leadership, attacking leadership. And Moshe said, This shall be when Yahweh shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full. For what Yahweh heareth your murmurings, which murmur against him, what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh. And Moses spake unto Aaron and said, All the congregation, the children of Israel, come near before Yahweh, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation, the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speak unto them, saying, At evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim.
And it came to pass that at evening quails came up, covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay round about the host. So we know that the quails, the meat for Israel, was given in the evening, as the evening came in transition to the next day. And in the morning is when they went out and got, and again, this is all necessary to talk about to prove that, knowing that this was all centered around the Sabbath day and what they had to do in order to rest is going to help validate how the days of the week went and actually pinpointing the exact day of the Sabbath was way back then. Okay, so the quails, remember, they entered into, on the second month, they entered on the 15th day of the month, right? So the quails were given on the evening of the day, which would have been the end of the Sabbath day, the 15th. That's when they end. If I had my calendar, you would know that that's the Sabbath day anyway. But anyway, take my word for it. They actually came into the wilderness of sin on the 15th day of the second month, which just so happened to be a Shabbat. All right? They get there. And then that evening, after all the murmurings complaining, that's the first evening when the Shabbat was going out, the quail came in, and Israel got to go out and get quail. And then the next morning, the first day, morning portion of the first day of the week, that's when they went out and got the manna. So it would have been the end of the 15th day of the month when they entered in to the wilderness of sin on the second month, on the 15th, and it would have been the start of the 16th day, if you're following me. In which Israel came into the wilderness, and the manna came the following morning, as I said, I'm reading my notes here. And when the dew was laid, okay, verse 14, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there was a lay, a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is bread which Yahweh hath given you to eat. This is the thing which Yahweh had commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. So again, I'm going to reiterate again. They had the first month of Bib. I'm going to keep going over the timeline to help us get it in our head, all right? They had the month of Abib come in, the first month of the Hebrew year. 14 days later at evening, coming into the 15th day of the month, they kept the Passover. At night, the next morning in the early hours, they departed out of Egypt on the 15th day of the first month. And in the second month, on the 15th day, which was 30-some days removed, they came into the wilderness of sin, which happened to be a Sabbath day, which I'm going to prove to you it was a Sabbath day. We don't know what day it is just reading the account, but after we get through this, it's easy to prove what day it is, especially if you got this handy calendar in front of you, because when it's all written out, you can actually see that that's exactly what happened. And then we know that when they came in the third month, again on the 15th day, which was 53 days later, that they were at Mount Sinai, but we're going to get back to that. So we're taking it through the months here. So now we have them in the wilderness of sin. They're about, when the Sabbath goes out, they go out there and get their first round of quail, and the next morning they'll be getting their manna. So, verse 17, the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moshe said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. The next morning, which would have been the second day, or the 18th day of the gathering, that the manna became defiled. Okay, so just going on to the days here. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, when he had sun waxed hot. So Sunday morning, or first day morning, as we call it, the world Roman calls it Sunday, they collected it the first time. And so the whole point is they were supposed to eat it up that day, what they gathered, and don't try to harbor it up or put some aside for a late midnight snack. You had to eat it all that day, and then the next day you would be supplied. Okay, for whatever reason, it was just a matter of obedience for the Most High. It didn't matter if he, you know, what the Israelites thought about trying to store some up in their cupboard. I guess they probably figured they were going to run out of food again, so they were hoarding and not trusting the Most High. So anyway, he was showing that their disobedience to him, he's just going to simply, make the stuff go back to the worms. So, but then he goes on to, you know, verse 21, and they gathered every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So he was sufficing them. They were crying out for food, and he was sufficing them. But every day of the week this happened. So we're coming from the first day of the week when they started gathering, we're going to come to the sixth day of the week, and then they're going to give new instruction about what to do with this manna, right? And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Now this happened 6 days removed, which would have been the 21st of the month, from the day in which Israel, or the 16th day of the month, that morning they began to gather the manna. So you just have to add the days, and it comes to that sixth day would have been the 21st day of that second month. Remember, they got there on the 15th. It is also important to realize that no quail was to be harvested, as the coming in of this evening, the only time the quail were there to gather, would have also been the coming in of the Sabbath and no man of work. So what I'm saying, this is just my notes, is that they couldn't go out what we know is Friday night and gather quail because it was the coming in the Sabbath and that was work, right? All the food prep, everything had been done the day before. So one night they didn't get no meat apparently. And this, incidentally, okay, verse 23. And he said unto them, this is that which Yahweh has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Shabbat unto Yahweh. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that which you will seethe, and that which remains over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now, this is the first account ever in our Torah, in our word, that the Sabbath day, that day was actually mentioned the first time. And verse 24, and they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and did not stink, neither was there any worm there. So what the significance was now that we have this timeline, right? We know they got there on the 15th of the month. It talked about when they were to gather the quail and gather the manna, but it actually lays out the days of the weeks, and it comes in, and the first time it mentions the Sabbath day, it establishes us a six-day work week and a one-day of rest. So we know by going from the 15th and counting the days of the week till they get to that day where they have to gather twice as much, we can know what day of the month that was. If I hope I'm making sense. And so by knowing what that day of the month was, we can actually go back every 7 days all the way back until they left Egypt, and we can write down what the Sabbath day is simply going backwards, if that makes sense. It's really that simple, but it's all right here. Even though it wasn't, you know, spelled out directly, it's all right here. So we have a timeline, a reference, just from that 15th day of the second month. We have the week that they were gathering. We came to the sixth day. First time the Sabbath day is mentioned, we know the significance. And now that we know that that Sabbath day, which would have been, the 22nd of the month, we can go back every 7 days, all the way back, as far back as to Abib when they came out in Passover, which so happened to be on a fourth day night, just like it lined up with when Yahshua was crucified. You saw pastors, his resurrection chart, the 3 days and three nights chart on the website. So I hope I'm making sense. So the first Sabbath day that we can establish clearly was the 22nd of that month. It actually was the 15th, and we had the 22nd. So anyway, that's the beauty of it. So now I can take that all the way back and go back to the time when they left Egypt. And we know that Sabbath, when the Passover is on a Wednesday, so on a fourth day, so easily, it's so easy now to pinpoint when that Sabbath day was, the few days later, which would have been the 17th day of the first month. And then that began the Feast of First Fruits on the 18th day of the first month. That began the countdown. So now we can number 50 days up We have a timeline, a stamp mark to count 50 days up, and that's going to put us exactly at the foot of Mount Sinai when the Day of the Ten Commandments was given. I know it's a lot. I hope I'm making sense. Oh, Jesus, help me. Well, not too many people are dropping off, so it must be not. Maybe it ain't that confusing. Anyway. Ah, glory to the King. So, all right. Where am I? Verse 24, and they laid it up until the morning as Moses bade, and did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moshe said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field. Verse 26. All right, glory to the King. I'm getting some reports, and they're Brother Ugly, I don't know what that face is, but okay. But anyway, the saints are saying it's they can understand, so I appreciate that. I really do, because I try to make it as clear as I possibly can, but I'm glad that it's being understood. All right, verse 26, 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And Yahweh said unto Moses, how long you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? And I'm just going to finish it out. See, for Yahweh hath given you the Shabbat. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man his place. No man go out of his place on the seventh day. I mean, you can't go out to gather anything or collect anything. That's the coming in of the Sabbath or during the Sabbath. So the people rested on the seventh day. All right. So now that we got that, so now we're gonna go back to, remember we also already talked about the third month and the 15th of the month that they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And then they had to prepare themselves for 3 days, for Yahweh was going to speak to the people. So the day they would have entered in to at Mount Sinai, the wilderness of Sinai, before they prepared themselves, would have been sometime in the night, early morning, I don't know, it doesn't say, but it would have been 48 days removed from the beginning of Pentecost on the 18th of the first month. Or it would have been the fifth day of the third month, Sivan. So, back to Exodus. Remember, I said that we'd be going Exodus 10 through whatever it was. So now we're back in Exodus 19, beginning off in verse 12. We left off in verse 10 when it was talking about the people being prepared that day, the next day, and the next day after that, then 3 days to prepare themselves to receive the Most High and His commandments. Verse 12, and thou shalt set, Exodus 19, verse 12, and we're going up to 23. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not up unto the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether so they're preparing the people and making sure that they don't defile the mount and to stay away and just to be obedient to what they're doing and the expectations of being ready to come the third day. And it shall not live. When the trumpets sound along, they shall come up to the mount. And when Moshe went down from the mountain, the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. So they're getting prepared. And he said unto them, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. So he wants them to stay in a purified state. You don't want any uncleanness as much as possible. And he's forbidding the men. He wants them to keep their focus on this holy convocation that's coming, this great outpouring of his laws, his Torah for Israel. They're entering into a marriage covenant. Verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people was in the camp trembled. So now we're actually at the 50th day in the morning. This is Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. And the people have sanctified themselves. the day they got there, the next day, and the next day after that, which would be the 50th day, all of them 3 days. And so they're preparing to hear what is about to happen, to be prepared at what is about to happen on Mount Sinai. Moshe brought forth the people out of the camp to meet Yah, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because Yahweh descended upon it in fire, and the smoke there ascended as the smoke of the furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded along waxed louder and louder, Moshe spake, and Yah answered him by voice. So we're just going through what happened leading up to the giving of the commandments. And Yahweh came down upon Mount Sinai at the top of the mount, and Yahweh called Moshe up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Okay, so he summoned him to come up. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Yahweh to gaze, and many of them perish. So he has to come back and say, look, y'all, you already were warned to stay in line, stay put, and, you know, they already said you were going to die. I mean, they were just given the word that if they break what they were just told, they were going to die, and yet they were still wanting to break through and come and see for themselves. That's a hard-headed, stiff-necked people. Help us, Jesus. And let the priests also which come near to Yahweh sanctify themselves, lest the Lord Yahweh break forth upon them. And Moshe said unto Yahweh, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest, saying, set bounds around the mount and sanctify it. And Yahweh said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto Yahweh, lest he break forth upon them. And verse 25, so Moshe went down to the people, and he spake to them. So he's going to speak to them. Then we go, remember, this is all happening 53 days removed from leaving out of Egypt, standing at the foot of Mount Sinai on the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, and I'm not going to go through all things because we talk about it all the time. We recite it every Shabbat. And Yah spake all these words, saying, and then he goes through and gives them the Torah, gives them the Ten Commandments and the two tablets of stone. So there we should have, I hope it was clear enough to prove that the day of Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, that they received the commandments on Mount Sinai. So glory to the King. So we're going to move fast forward here. We're going to go fast forward thousands of years. And we're going to go to, we're just going to talk about this quickly just for anybody that's new. I'm assuming that everybody listening right now is already familiar with the Renewed Covenant account of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure that you are, but somebody may listen to this on YouTube and not be aware of this, so that's why we're going to continue talking about this. So, Yahshua is taken in the midst of the week before Pilate. The Romans crucify him. He's 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And we're not going to go on that, but he resurrects before the going out of the Shabbat. So that's where we're going to start because it's significant. Remember, first fruits always starts the day after the seventh-day Sabbath of rest. We have the exact same timeline, the exact same time frame here, you know, thousands of years going forward. And so we know that Jesus is already resurrected, and I'm not going to go back, and that we've had studies on that all the time. Yeah, Brother Vincent, you might have gotten here late, but you need to email me at elderbecker777.com. Or, doc, help me, geez, elderbecker777@yahoo.com. And then I'll send you a PDF of that. Okay, so Yahshua was resurrected on Shabbat, and then we start the Feast of First Fruits. So now we can break down again just to prove beyond the shadow of doubt that it was in fact 50 days from the time that he resurrected when first fruits happens that next day and going forward 50 days until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. All right, Mark chapter 16 verses 1. 1 through 9, Mark 16, 1 through 9. And I got several of the versions from the different books of, you know, Mark and Luke, and I might just do one because enough is sufficient. All right, for those of you on the chat, yeah, Brother Ugly's got it up there, my email address. That is the correct email address. All right, Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 1. And when Shabbat was passed, meaning that evening had gone out, we're going into the first day, the evening started the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So they were waiting for the Sabbath to go out. Obviously, they weren't going to do this in the middle of the night, but they were getting prepared to do this. And very early morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. So we know very clearly that at the coming in of the first day, that Yahshua was no longer there. And the text just proves the fact and shows us that he had already been resurrected, and they didn't find him on the first day of the week, which we know. The Sabbath had just passed, and what we're dealing with and seeing right here is the very beginning of the first Feast of First Fruits. Which, incidentally, First Fruits, and there's some doctrines out there that say it has to fall on the same exact day the Jews got that. I think it's at the after the conclusion of Feast of Unleavened Bread, then First Fruits starts immediately, which is totally contrary to what the Word says. First Fruits always starts on the first Shabbat, or after the first day after the Shabbat that is after Passover begins, if that's making sense. So whatever day Passover comes in, that first day after it is when the Feast of First Fruits starts. And I did a big study about that years ago, I think pretty much exclusively or conclusively proving that what the false doctrine they have is nothing but a big lie. But that's because they're imposters. So we know anyway, first day of the week, Yahshua is not there. The text just proved that he's not there. And we have to establish this timeline because it's going to give us other figures and other days in the New Testament that help us to come to Pentecost again, or the outpouring of Holy Spirit on Shavuot. A holy convocation. Verse 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, there you shall see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they were trembled and were amazed, and neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Yahshua was risen early the first day of the week at the end of the Sabbath, coming into the first day, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, on whom he cast seven devils. And again, here's another prime example of restructuring the wording to promote Christianity's agenda of a pagan Easter resurrection. These are from my notes from my study that years ago. The way they reword, if you read this in different versions, it's not read like this. They're making it sound like he resurrected Sunday morning, Easter morning, right? Which isn't the fact. So we have a timeline of that. All right, I'm going to skip that because it's just a repeat. And we're going to go to the book of John, which to me gives probably the most accurate details of what happened prior to leading up to the crucifixion and to the resurrection. It's probably got one of the more detailed accounts. So, starting John chapter 20 and verses 1, all the way up until we get to uh, 20. So we got 20 verses to go through. All right, now the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. And again, we just read this in Mark's account, I believe it was, right? Yeah, Mark's account, because I had Luke's here. So we just read this in Mark's. It's just saying, John saying the same thing. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, meaning that it was still dark, a.m., early a.m., under the sepulchre, to see the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which would have been John, and saith unto him, they have taken away the master out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Some people say sepulchre, some say sepulchre. I use both. Tomato, tomato, right? Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. And they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, looking in, and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So we have all this activity going on the first day of the week. He's not, then Jesus already ascended. He's not there. The resurrection's already happened. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeing linen clothes lie. And I'm going to skip down. All right, so we're going to go down to verse, where are you at, Brother Ugly? I'm going to jump down to verse 11. But Mary stood outside the sepulchre weeping, and she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my master, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. So the first time that he's seen is Mary on the first day of the week. Remember, he is the first fruits of the resurrection. And Yahshua saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. What in the world? Where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my Yah, and your Elohim. And Mary Magdalene, verse 18, came and told the disciples that she had seen the Master, and that he had spoken these things unto her that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Yahshua, stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. So he went to see them at the closing of first day, coming into the second day. And when he had said, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw Yahshua. Okay, so we finished John. Again, we established what day, the first day that Yahshua, the first fruits of the resurrection, was seen. Also the first day of the Feast of First Fruits. And now we have to count 50 days. We're going to find out that it was actually truly 50 days later from that time when Yahshua resurrected, when he was first seen, that this Holy Spirit was poured out. All right, let's see. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1 through 9. Acts chapter 1, 1 through 9. Again, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. A former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So when was he taken up? When did they see him ascend back up? whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Yah. So we know the first day he was seen was by Mary, and then that night he showed himself to the apostles on the first day of the week, or the beginning of first fruits. And so he was with them for these 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of Yah, and being assembled together with him, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And so you know the rest of the Acts here, and it goes on to say in verse 9 that they actually saw him taken up. So, again, we're given the number in verse 3 of 40 days. So we know at least 40 days after that. They're commanded then to wait for the promise of the Father, wait for the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible never tells us anywhere that they waited in the upper room 10 days, but it's an automatic because it does say in Acts 2 that was on the day of Pentecost, which is the 50th day of the Feast of First Fruits, which is also in Hebrew called Shavuot. That's when it was poured out. So we know automatically between this 40 days and the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that there was a 10-day time they were waiting in the upper room, if that makes sense. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and just reiterating that, and when the day of Pentecost, when the day of Shavuot, when the end of first fruits, when the way of offering the sheave was fully come, they were with all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, so that concludes this study. I hope it was easy enough to follow. I tried to make it that way. I thought it was going to be a lot longer, but hey, glory to the King. That's what I'm asking. I hope I didn't go too fast. But as you can see, Yah does so many marvelous things on around his feast days. In Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said it's not for us to know the times and the seasons, because we already know we're not going to expect anything really great outside the feast days. That's why we should be prepared all the time for the things that come, especially during the feast day. We can see by all the so many feast days that the times of the gatherings here at the community, at the hub of all the mighty works that Yah has done in healings and deliverance, there's no denying it that he does so many more greater things on his feast days. That's including the Shabbat day as well. I mean, we see that in the Gospels where when Yahshua went in the temple on the Sabbath day and healed so many, did so many things, marvelous works, even then on the Shabbat day. So, it should be no marvel at all that, this very thing happened way back there, the giving the Torah on the day of Shavuot, Pentecost, and the outpouring Holy Spirit. You know, the two great big things that rule and govern Israel, right? The indwelling of Yah's Holy Spirit and his commandments. So that shows you just how important this Feast of First Fruits really is. I mean, we have the first 49 days where we really don't do anything. We're bringing in the harvest. I encourage y'all, if you haven't done it yet, go back and study the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits, and it's called by a few other things in different versions, and I forget all of them right now, but them the two very most ones. So anyway, I hope this made sense. And again, if you want that calendar that I made up, you're welcome to email me, and I will get that out to you and send you in a PDF form. So anyway, bless you all. I appreciate your patience, and thank you for joining me tonight. I pray that the rest of the week you find you encouraged, fighting the good fight of faith. This is not for the faint of heart. Are there few that be saved? Yes. So strive to enter in to the kingdom and to his righteousness. So bless you all. Hope to see some of you at the feast, all right? And to those that won't be here. I know you'll be, you know, right along with us. I think there was an announcement I was supposed to make, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, well, anyway. All right, bless y'all. Much love. Hey, shalom, shalom.